All right, we'll take your Bibles this morning. Open to 1 Peter. Amen. What a great truth. 1 Peter chapter number 4. We'll read verses 1 through 7. 1 Peter 4, 1 through 7. Title of the message this morning, Arm Yourselves. Arm yourselves. Verse number 1, 1 Peter 4. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to do the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch under prayer. Let's pray. Father, do come today, Lord, asking now for your presence, for the power of God. We pray now, Lord, that you would, Father, build a hedge about us. Lord, drive out the forces of evil. God, that there might be liberty for thy Spirit to work in and out of our hearts and lives. Father, we come and pray that you might plow up the fallow ground of our hearts, that God, you might plant something in our lives that will grow to bear fruit. Something, Lord, that will be pretty in thy sight. Something, Lord, that will fresh the lives of others. Something, Lord, that will give testimony to your glory and greatness. Father, help us now today that we might have ears to hear, a ready mind, Lord, willing to receive, to be, and to do by faith in Jesus Christ. We pray for that one here today, that this matter's not settled, and that God, they secretly between you and them, Lord, they do not have a peace in their heart. They're troubled about their soul, unsettled about salvation, disturbed about the coming of Christ. And God, I pray today they might come, seeking thy face and calling upon thee in faith today, and making ready, making sure for the Lord when he comes. Bless us now and help us by the word. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As you and I gather together, we certainly come to worship and give praise unto God for the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made in our behalf. We come today, and as Brother Reich mentions, he appreciated the fact that every time he comes in and walks in, the first thing he sees is the cross. And certainly you and I, as we gather together, we celebrate the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we seek with great clarity to let men know that it's only through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that a man has hope, that God can save him and transform his life and make a new creature of him, and one day bringing in to glory into heaven. And so we come today and we rejoice. We give praise that Jesus was willing to take my place and your place. I remind you, Jesus' death was not only, as we mentioned last time, a substitute, also it was voluntary. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ voluntarily gave his life. You remember, he said, no man takes my life, I lay it down. Jesus was not overpowered. He was the Son of God. He willingly gave himself for you. And we worship and celebrate this. We stop and consider and stand amazed at what love this is, that he would die for the sinner. We also stop and we search out the great wisdom of this. What wisdom of this, that God, who is holy, that we could be reconciled unto him being sinners. How could that possibly take place, that one day those of us who are lost, dead in trespasses and sin, that one day we could end up in glory and be with him, is the great wisdom of God. How that came about. And something the Bible reminds us that we would have never thought of
is beyond, listen, the capacity of man's mind to come up with such a plan as this. What glory is this that you and I could sit today knowing who we are, where He found us, and what we were, and that, listen, and even yet in our failures, even yet in our shortcomings, even yet faced with all of our inabilities and our weaknesses and transgressions, how is it today that I can sit here in the house of God and find rest and peace and blessed assurance? What glory is this that God has brought to us? And so we stand amazed at what Jesus has done. And we rejoice, as we had read last time in verse number 18 of chapter 3, how that He brought us to God. And you and I, we celebrate, listen, what elevation, for He came down to where we were and, listen, got down to the guttermost and saved us to the uttermost, that He came down to us, and we had fallen. We were fallen creatures in sin, and yet He came to where we were. We could not go to Him, but He came all the way to us that He might bring us to God. Oh, listen, what condescension, what redemption, what salvation, what sanctification, what glorification, that He would reach down and take and pluck a brand out of the burning, and listen, that He would mold it and fashion it to the image of His Son, and one day present us to Himself as the great sons of God. Listen, what elevation from where He found us to where we are, to where we will be one day with Him. We stop and acknowledge the death and the blood of Christ, and we think of what expiation of our sin, how that He came to atone for it, and He paid it in full, completely. He finished the work. He satisfied God's demand for justice and judgment. And listen, He meted out that payment, paid it in full, completely, such that you and I in Christ, we have a standing in this grace, and there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, that all my sin could be washed away, all of it, entirely. It's gone, it's gone, it's gone. Listen, what power there is in that precious blood. He elevated us. Listen, that expiation, He got rid of all of our sin. What exaltation. If you look at verse 22, the Bible said, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. And guess what? He told us in John 14, He'd go and prepare us a place. A place with Him. Oh, listen, what exaltation to bring us to God. I listened that He was going to prepare us. You know, in the great parable of the marriage supper, when they were invited, wedding garments were provided for them that they might come and sit at the table. And He said, go out to the highways and get the halt and the lame and the poor and bring them in. And listen, He will clothe us and He will prepare us that we might sit at His table. And one day you and I shall sit at the table of the Lord, and we shall serve Him and we shall reign with Him. That common, hell-deserving sinners, one day we'll rule with Him in the kingdom where He places us over nations and over cities and over towns. Towns and villages, how we will be a part of the great kingdom of God. Listen, how is it that He found us and where He's brought us to? Of what great exaltation. Jude said this in 1:24, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Jesus prayed this in John 17, looking ahead to the finished work of Calvary. And He said, the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Oh, the glory of God now has shined upon us, and God has transformed our lane. But I want you to notice here, if you look in also previously, we saw not only the glory, the wonders of the sufferings of Christ and what He did for us, but I want you to notice a phrase we didn't indicate last time. In 1 Peter 3:18, being put to death in the flesh. Being put to death. You know what that shows us? As I mentioned, Jesus' death was substitutional. And we also find His death was voluntary. But notice it says being put to death in the flesh. You know what that is? That's man's part. That this in the flesh is representative of His condemnation. That is, you remember in simple terms of the Scripture, what did they cry concerning Him? Crucify Him, crucify Him. He was put to death. I know Jesus came to die. I know that He died voluntarily. I know He died as your substitute and mine. I know He was dying for the sins of the world. But listen, we do not forget, the Bible records for us that, listen, there was a demand for His death. And Jesus stated they hated Him without cause. And listen, that He was put to death. What depravity is this sinful flesh? What darkness is this sinful flesh? What destruction is this sinful flesh that demanded? It was the flesh of man. It was the sinful flesh of fallen man that demanded His death, that called for His crucifixion. And so He was put to death by man. He was put to death by the flesh. And Jesus voluntarily, substitutionary, He gave Himself. Then I want you to come in chapter 4, verse number 1. Notice the Bible says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind." Notice, "for as much." That word is not very common to us much now, but it means likewise or accordingly. And we could even say now and then. And so the Bible says, likewise or accordingly, as Christ has suffered, we are to arm ourselves, against the flesh. We're to arm ourselves against the flesh. When you and I think about arm ourselves, that means preparation must be made because there's going to be a battle that will ensue. That is, you and I will face a conflict just like Jesus did. Jesus faced that conflict, and Jesus faced it every day of His life. And listen, it was not a pleasantry. It was difficult. No one likes to be hated. No one likes to be falsely accused. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ bore the brunt of it because He was not guilty of anything He was accused of. Sometimes, listen, our old accuser, the devil, doesn't have to tell a lie. Sometimes he looks at us and just tells the truth. Listen, because you and I are all common transgressors. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And listen, there's none good, none righteous. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And so as you and I consider this, the Bible says we are to arm ourselves concerning the matter of the flesh. Ron and I were talking yesterday. It's been something on my mind for several months now. And I've been praying, searching the Scriptures, and considering several things. But we're faced with some challenges today that have not been faced since back before the Great Awakening. That is, that the global hatred of the followers of Christ. This thing, you know, we had a great awakening, I guess, 17th century, where revival spread throughout the world. And we found that in the 17th, 18th centuries, boy, I tell you what, it was the heyday for the gospel of Christ. It was spread around the world. And listen, there was great revivals that went worldwide. There was revivals that came to this country in the 1700s, and some of the greatest preachers, the greatest moves of God happened back in those days. And listen, there was such a fear of God. There was such an impact of the gospel that communities felt it. And there was a fear of God. And we read those stories of what took place in those revivals, and thousands and thousands of people got saved. I read the story of some of the great preachers. I think about the gifts that were given. Billy Sunday, the old crazy baseball preacher that God saved. Listen, he was completely uncouth and unprofessional. Listen, he wouldn't be invited in most churches to preach. Many times he stood on the pulpit rather than behind it. Listen, and he'd get up there and said he's going to throw a strike for Jesus. Some people didn't like that. But listen, he went to preach. And listen, I read where he preached to 100,000 people in one meeting without amplification. That was a gift of God that enabled him to preach to 100,000. When he died, the newspapers had a picture of his hand. I think maybe in the New York Times or Chicago, I think the Chicago paper had a picture of his hand and said, "I want you to see the hand of the man that shook hands with over 50,000 people who come to Christ in his ministry for a short time." What a heyday. And so listen, even back, during those early times, the 1700s and all those things, there was always enemies, always oppression, but there was a great awakening. But now that has run its course. You and I are living, it's a very exciting time. It's a time for your light to shine brighter than it's ever shined. Because you know what? When there is persecution, those who are the fakes and phonies, they're gone. Okay? And just the bright light's going to shine. When Jesus died on the cross, you found out how many real disciples he had. Amen? There weren't many. And Jesus said, "My little flock, and few there be that find it," Jesus said. And listen, you and I consider this, we are facing, and some questions are being brought to my attention, the attention of others, concerning the day we're facing in defending our lives, defending our homes, and defending our faith. This is not something we have had to have a lot of experience with. Matter of fact, Mom, it was in my 20s before we ever locked the door. Didn't even stop to think about it. And listen, you wouldn't think about it today. And listen, it's something that all of us have to deal with. There's a matter. You say, "Preacher, we have faith in God." Yes, we do. We also, listen, we take common sense precautions. Man has to draw a line. You may condemn some person because he goes to one extreme, but listen, you do things yourself. I don't advise you. If you want to go to South Point Mall after dark, go ahead. I wouldn't advise it. I wouldn't advise it. Matter of fact, I avoid that place in the daytime, much less at night. Listen, there's places I wouldn't go and things I wouldn't do. So we have to make those decisions. We have to make choices. It's a dangerous world out there. And so all of us, we have to come and we have to draw, some preferences. We have to draw some convictions as we're dealing with things. And listen, when it comes to our lives, our homes, our families, our faith, we have to make those decisions. And listen, I'm going to give you some information. Most of you may know it. I'm not trying to alarm you today, but I just want you to be aware and be awake what we're facing these days. 3 weeks ago, I believe it was, in a church in Lewisburg, they had a visitor. He came in after service, walked around. Several people went and asked him, could they help him? He said no. He made a little observation, came through, and he left. Come to find out, he was a person of Islam. Come to find out, he is on the watch list. And he came by to visit one of the churches in Lewisburg. And so we're being confronted with things that we've never thought about before. And they're here. They're here. And so, as you and I consider this, we stop and we say, well, you know, that means we have to consider what changes we need to make, what we have to do. And I'm not going to get in that too deeply today. It's another time, another place, another discussion. But here's what I want you to do. I just illustrated that to give you what Peter says. Peter was writing with these people during times of intense persecution. Nero was putting people to death, Christians to death. He was killing them. Matter of fact, Peter wrote in the first epistle, knowing this shortly, I must put off this my tabernacle, as Jesus had taught him that he was going to be a martyr. Jesus taught him that from the very beginning, back in the resurrection after he appeared to Jesus. Do you love me? He told him he'd be led to a place he didn't want to go. He'd be a martyr for his faith. Jesus told him that. Peter knew that that time was coming. Peter wasn't afraid. Wasn't concerned for himself. He was concerned for the brethren he was leaving behind. But I want you to see in this text of Scripture, even in the midst of great persecution, even though they were being martyred for their faith, I want you to see that Peter's main concern, notice it, it wasn't Nero. It wasn't the persecutors. You know what his main concern was? Notice, he said, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men. You know what Peter's main concern for the church was? It wasn't Nero. It wasn't the persecutors. It was the conflict you have within yourself. It was the flesh. That was the great burden that the Holy Ghost gave for Peter in reference to these people's lives. And we're going to see why. Why is it that with all the problems and all the enemies and all they face, why was the flesh the main concern that Peter had, and he told them to arm themselves. He said that is that there is to be a preventative thought, there is to be preventative measures concerning the power, the enemy of the flesh. You see, we find here that Peter was relating the fact that there are things that the physical enemies cannot take from you, but the spiritual enemy can take from you. Peter's just simply weighing out which is the greater danger. Which of those things that we face in the conflicts of life can cause the greatest damage, cause the greatest destruction to our lives? And notice what he says as he relates that in verse number 2. Here's why he says, arm yourself, that there is to be recognized a conflict and preparation needs to be made every day to face the conflict, because here is the potential danger of what the flesh can do. Verse number 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. That is, Peter sees a greater danger. A greater danger than their haters and their persecutors and those who have even called for their death. There's a greater danger. It is the power of the flesh that will lead you down a pathway of giving your life up to live according to the lust, denying, ignoring, and refusing the will of God. Now tie this in with me. What's the first word of chapter 4, verse 1? For as much. That is, like Christ, following according to what Christ did. Christ had a conflict, but where is Christ now? He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, exalted. In other words, he's saying, listen, the Lord Jesus is the most blessed human being there ever was or ever can be. Because, listen, not only was he sinless in his obedience to God's law and obedience to God's will, but he obeyed God's will. He did the Father's will. He brought salvation to every sinner who will call upon him. He saved us from hell, saved us from eternal suffering, saved us so that we might be redeemed, has bringing us all the way to glory, where you and I one day will live in heaven with God. We'll live in paradise, all our cares. Why? Because Jesus did the will of God. That's why I'm here today. That's why I'm blessed. That's why I shout hallelujah. That's why I have hope in my heart. That's the reason I have peace in my soul. That's the reason I'm excited about the days ahead. It's all because Jesus did the Father's will. And so he says, likewise, listen, you can be a blessing. You can be used of God. Listen, God can make somebody honorable out of you. God can make you a faithful servant. One day God can lift you up, my friend. If you'll humble yourself in due time, He'll exalt you. He'll make your life worthwhile. He'll make you something. He'll turn something into your life. He'll make something out of you. And you'll be honored. You'll be a vessel of honor if you do the will of God. And he said, so here's the great danger. We got enemies, and they want to kill us. I'll tell you something. They cannot rob you of your honor. They cannot rob you, my friend, of your eternal destiny. They cannot rob you of your reward in heaven, the mansion He's going to prepare, or the honors and the crowns and the rewards that Jesus Christ has come to give you. They cannot take those things away from you. But he said, listen, the flesh, listen, can do it and will do it. The flesh will rob you of things that nobody, no enemy in the world can rob you from. And he said, in the time past of our life, how we used to live, it may have sufficed us. That's a powerful word. May have been enough. May have been enough for you to walk in the way of the Gentiles, lasciviousness, lust, excesses, wine, reveling, banquetings, blah, blah, blah. Listen, if that's enough for you, listen, you need to get saved. Amen. What happens when you get saved? That's not enough. All the stuff I used to do, that's not enough. No. I found something better. I want something better. I came to Christ because I want something better than the world offered. Right? I want something better. How what I found in Christ is better. How, listen, God has blessed me with good things. And they only came from Him. God blessed me with salvation. God has blessed me with peace. God has blessed me with blessing. Listen, He's blessed me to know my sins forgiven. God has given me a sound mind. God has awakened me to the deception and darkness of the world. God has turned a light on. I'm not deceived. I'm not walking as a blind person walks. I know what sin is. I know what to do. And thank God He has changed me. Thank God He's given me the Holy Spirit. Thank God He's opened this book to me so that I can understand it and I can receive the wisdom from it. Thank God for all the blessings I have. Thank God for a godly Christian wife. Thank God for a family. All those things. Thank God for all my possessions. All those things are given to me by God. I want something better. And so the old past life didn't satisfy me. I wanted something else that only God can give me. But He says, arm yourself because the flesh can take it all away. The flesh can take it all away. If you note here, He said, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them. Listen, I think it's strange that you do run with them. But they think it's strange that you don't. The Bible said, who shall give an account to him that's ready to judge the quick and the dead? And so you and I, we live accordingly. Because of the day of judgment, they will stand before the Savior and give an account of our lives. In the context, what we do with the will of God and what we do with the will of flesh. That was our conflict. Our conflict. We'll stand before our great Savior, great Redeemer, who made it possible that we could do the will of God. He made it possible that I could know the will of God, made it possible I could do the will of God. And then He's going to ask us, or He's going to review us, we're going to give Him an account of what we did with it. And the conflict we have with this old flesh. Now, we find here that the flesh can rob us of our purity. You know what? The natural physical enemy, our persecutors, and those who hate us, those who want to blow us up, they cannot rob us of our purity. But flesh can. They cannot rob you of God's purpose for your life. You know that? God is greater than all. Greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. What did we learn from the Apostle Paul as we went through the book of Philippians, for those of you who are here? He said, I missed out on that. Shame on you, you should have been here. You learned something. What did we learn? We learned from the Apostle Paul that the things that have happened to me have fallen out rather. That is, God superintends our life. And we know God's greater than our enemies. And if, let me tell you something, put it in simple terms, if God don't want it, it ain't going to happen. Is that simple enough? If God don't want it, it ain't going to happen. God has a purpose. You know what? The enemy, the natural enemy, they cannot rob you of fulfilling God's purpose for your life. But the flesh can. The flesh can. They, listen, those natural enemies cannot rob you of your real spiritual power. How they put Paul in prison? What did he do? He led the prisoners to Christ. They took him before the authorities. You know what he did? He preached the gospel. Then they all got convicted. One of them said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Listen, he took the gospel. You know what his calling was? Take the gospel. Guess what? When they arrested him, it just gave him liberty to take the gospel. Because you just can't walk into the jail, and you can't walk up to the king, and you can't walk up to the princes, and you can't walk up to the nobles and say, I want to talk to you for a minute. They'd throw you out in your ear. But because he was brought up on charges, he was given that courtroom to make his appeal for Christ. It was actually his liberty. This natural physical enemy, listen, we're concerned about. We don't simply just pay no attention to it. And there are things that we should do. But what I'm saying is that was not Peter's great burden. Because he saw what the flesh could do versus what the enemies could do and the persecutors could do. Listen, the flesh can rob you of your purity. The flesh can rob you of the purpose God has for your life. And the flesh can rob you of the power that comes only by the anointing of the Spirit of God. And listen, the flesh can rob you of the place God wants you to be. Sadly, there's some people not in the place God wants them. You know why? Because of the flesh. You know where God wanted them today? If they're saved? He wanted to sit next to you in the house of God. Some folks are out doing their own thing. Well, preacher, we're worshiping God in our own way. Well, you must be worshiping your own God then. Not worshiping the God of the Bible. He tells you when, where, and how to worship. And listen, that place in the will of God, it's the place of favor and blessing. Amen? Place of, you know what? Enemy, natural physical enemies, persecutors, haters, they can't take you from that place. Nah. There's a song I like. I don't know if I can even find it anymore. But it's there's a phrase in there, prisons would palaces prove if Jesus would dwell with me there. In other words, He can take a prison and turn it into a palace as long as Jesus is present. When it was time for Paul and Silas to have devotion and they were in stocks and bonds, you know what they did? They had devotion. And boy, the impact it made on that jail when those jailers heard all that was going on. You know, they've heard some strange things. Brother Charles probably heard some strange conversations, strange phrases, strange words when you go in the prison cell. Sometimes you get some strange prison requests. Sometimes you hear some strange stories. Sometimes some heartbreaking stories. But I tell you, they never heard anything quite like this. You see, the enemy, the natural enemy, the physical enemy, they couldn't rob them from the place, but the flesh can. The flesh is the greater enemy. Jesus said this in Matthew 10:28, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." There's a greater enemy. Arm yourself against the flesh which kills. For the pleasures of sin for a season. We must arm ourselves against the flesh which demands its will to be done that we might sacrifice the will of God. That's the power of the flesh. And so you and I, we are to arm ourselves for this conflict knowing the power of the flesh and what it will do and can do if we do not make that preparation. Notice that last statement of chapter 3, verse 18, I'll close. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit to make alive. To make alive in a new sense. To make alive in a changed sense, a resurrected sense. And that is, as you and I seek the power of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God desires one thing in your life, and that is to lead you into the will of God. As you and I seek the power of the Spirit of God, as we come daily, listen, to cast a wound upon that flesh, as we come seeking to shoot at it, to put it back in its place, to put it back in its hole. Listen, we seek to walk in the Spirit of God. When we do, the Spirit of God will lead us in His will. The will of God is going to lead you to being a vessel of honor. The will of God is going to lead you to bearing great fruit for His glory. The will of God is going to lead you in the satisfaction and contentment of fulfilling God's purpose for your life. The Spirit of God is going to lead you to a place of power such that God comes and rests His power upon you, that there is real spiritual impact upon the lives of others through your testimony and through your kindness and through the gifts of the Spirit. It begins to impact those lives for the cause of Christ and opens their heart to conviction of the Spirit and allows the seed of the gospel to be planted. Listen, that's where how the will of God is. That's what God desires in our life. And it's the Spirit of God that will lead us to those places of joy and peace and purpose and power and purity. But I'll tell you what will rob you from it. The flesh. The flesh will rob you of all. That's the reason Peter said, even the light of these days of persecution intensely, he said, arm yourselves with the same mind that you don't live your life according to the lust of the flesh and the lust of men, but according to the good will of God. As I mentioned, it's a challenging time to be alive. And we are facing new challenges and new dangers and new things that we've not faced before. But in light of that, could I tell you this? The biggest battle hadn't changed at all. It's been the same thing all along. If we were just as concerned about the power of the flesh and the will of man as we are about the Islamic threats, God might rest His power on us and use us in a great way for His honor and for His glory. I'm not minimizing one. I'm just simply maximizing the other, because that's the emphasis of the Word of God, because it's the greatest dangers we face.